Welcome, have a seat. I am guessing that at least some of you have your phone with you here today, and if you do, I would love for you to take it out. I'm actually giving you permission. Please take it out if you have it. And if you think you might want to be in touch with me at some point or might want to download the contemplative prayer exercise that we're going to do together later, you can take a picture of this slide because it tells you where you can get that or where you can find me to get in touch with me later. And then I would like to ask you if you might be willing to embark with me on a great adventure and experiment. Our world moves at this rapid, insanely crazy, multi-stimulated pace that just about overwhelms all our senses most of the time. And even in quiet places like Wilmore, there is so much pressure. Now, I understand that you guys have figured out the chill factor because I have seen multiple hammocks around this campus, and I am super inspired. Last night, I was in my room looking for one to buy. Next time I come, I'm bringing my own. But I know that still you have pressures to move fast all the time. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this trend, but a lot of major performers now are giving out these little bags at the beginning of their concerts. Have you heard about these where you put them in and they actually lock your phone in this little bag and the digital code isn't released till the end of the concert? Because artists would like to have an experience with their audience, an experience with the people that they're sharing space with that they know they can't have if people are distracted by their phones. So I'm wondering if today you might be willing with me. I don't have little bags that will digitally lock your phone in them, but I'm wondering if you might be willing to try an experiment and actually power your phone all the way off. All the way off. We hardly ever do it. It creates a lot of anxiety for people. When my husband comes to hear me speak, he says this is his least favorite part, and then he gets the jitters until he gets to turn it back on. But if we can have just a few moments together, I think it could be beautiful. Because I would like to teach you guys and help you know about the power of pause. I hope more than anything that you have gotten from me while I've been here, that I in no way hate technology. I in no way want to shame you for using it. I think it is an amazing resource. I understand the desire to use it and to use it a lot. However, I also know that there is some compelling research and there is compelling experience to be had when we learn to pause. And I've also asked Emma and Savannah to be up here painting today because I know that let me tell you why. I know that not all of you are word or music smart, which is the way that most churches and most chapel services speak to people, are through word and through music. Today, I'm going to try to integrate all the 9 kinds of being smart, all the 9 ways of taking in information and being with information and with God. And this is just one more of those, a visual way. So why else would I encourage you to pause? I would encourage you to pause for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that pausing, being free of external stimulation, not only helps you develop that strong internal locus of control where you can meet with God and find out what the creator of your whole self feels about you, which, by the way, is absolute love. But also, it helps you build the brain, and it helps you build a capacity to take in God's love and a capacity to take in God's created order in a way that we no longer naturally have. All of the way that we take in all of the stimulus around us has created an epidemic of short attention spans, of distractibility, of an inability to delay gratification. It's hard to sit in chapel, and I've heard that from a bunch of you, that it's hard to just sit and listen when you're used to being stimulated all the time. Being bored nearly kills you. However, there's a profound impact that you get from doing that. And actually, what I love about God is that all of God's truth comes out in a bunch of crazy ways. And one of the ways that it comes out is in research. And people have now found very consistently over time that if you dedicate yourself to 10 minutes a day of stillness, in some of the research, that looks like what they call mindfulness meditation, which is not a spiritual form of meditation. It's a form of meditation that actually increases your body's ability to pay attention to the physiology that God gave you. It also could look like contemplative prayer. In some new research, it looks like rhythmic exercise, where your body, you know, that runner's high that people talk about, where you're kind of moving your body in such a way that your mind gets really clear. That 10 minutes can double the gray matter in the part of your brain that is being diminished by all the distractibility. That is profound. Now, the cool thing is if you link that 10 minutes with an activity that you do every day, you're more likely to practice it, which means you're more likely to get that 10 minutes every day for 4 months and to double the gray matter, which will then fill your capacity and enable you to be still and quiet and at peace and at rest even more. The other reason that we need this is because we can't assess. We can't figure out what we're doing with our lives or with our technology engagement if we don't ever stop and get still and ask ourselves some good questions. So when you're assessing how you use technology, because I actually changed a bunch of stuff up last night based on a lot of conversations that I had yesterday and the day before where you were asking me, how do I do this? How do I know? What does ideal amount of time or quality look like? The first thing I want to tell you is make sure that the time that you're spending online is in quality spaces. That is rarely like free app games or porn or stupid YouTube videos. There are a lot of really brilliant, well-made YouTube videos. Binge on those. Binge on high-quality content. Content that helps you become a better, more well-rounded, interpersonally aware person. This is just a little simple example. You could use a technology pyramid like a food pyramid. If you turn the food pyramid upside down and eat mostly sugar and, I don't know, if you just drink Red Bulls and I don't know what else, eat candy bars all day, you're probably not going to feel great. Same with technology. Use more technologies that connect you to people, that connect you to engagements, and that educate you well in the way that helps you become a richer person. Use technologies that just entertain a little less, being careful for technologies that are either super highly monetized, meaning they're wanting you to do a lot of in-app purchases or that kind of thing, or sexualized or violent. And then if you are engaging with technology that can hurt you, make sure you use it very little to not at all. There is no place on the food pyramid for cyanide, right? Because any little bit will kill you. There are certain places online that will hurt your imagination, your creativity, and you. And again, no shame in owning that. That is just a reality of our world that is before you all the time. But I would love to help you be able to combat it. So now I'm going to get my total dork on, and I hope you will join me in doing so, because I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of, I am not a rapper. However, if I could rap, I would figure out a way to rap this. I'd like you to put your hand up, and we're going to do this together. A, B, C, D, T. I can't hear you. A, B, C, D, T, again, A, B, C, D, T, see my dork. Okay, if you've got a little pen, you might want to write those on your hand. This is a little assessment tool you can use. This, I want you to just think about your use of technology in all of these areas. This is your ability to focus, delay, and regulate. Can you focus on one thing at a time without getting distracted by a text or a message indicator for at least 20 minutes? When I was in graduate school, our research was around, could people focus for 20 to 30 minutes. Now we're researching, can people focus for 3 minutes? This is kind of pitiful, right? So can you focus? Can you delay gratification, meaning when an idea comes to you, can you put it aside in order to stay focused on what you're working on, or do you get very quickly distracted? And then regulate. Can you regulate your emotions? When something comes up, or when you're feeling amped up, like we talked about the other day with video games or whatever you're consuming, can you bring yourself to a regulated state? So that you can actually be in your body where your body is, like in a relationship or in a class or in prayer. AB just means, what is your attachment balance like? Are you attached both to things that are spiritually deep and meaningful and infused with purpose? Or are you primarily attached to things that are kind of frivolous and entertaining? Also, do you have a balance of your attachments in your actual embodied life and in your digital spaces? You want there to be a balance. You don't want it to be really uneven on the digital side. See, this finger could get me in a lot of trouble here if I just raised it by itself, right? Right. Okay, content and context. If you are always finding that you are separating yourself from the surroundings that you are in, either nature or other people, in order to be on your device, that's an issue. Also, if your content is just highly either frivolous or without any substance or actually harmful, that can be an issue. D is your level of devotion. This is, in our country, this is a ring finger that shows your devotion to things. This shows my devotion to a person who I love in Sierra Leone, Africa. Your devotion to your cell phone or your laptop or your tablet is really important to think about. Can you go anywhere without Google Maps? How many of you know by memory at least 3 phone numbers? Woo, you guys are breaking records. That's awesome. That's the sign of early onset dementia, when you can't remember 3 phone numbers anymore, by the way. Can you go into a restaurant or go to a movie without reading a review? Can you just trust yourself to have an experience and get through it? That's devotion. And then finally, T is time. People always want to ask, how much time should I be spending online? Time only matters in relation to those other 4 dynamics. So sometime today, think that through and see where you are with your own use. If you really can't hold yourself back from your devices in order to build your ability to focus and delay, there are all kinds of apps. My favorite 2 are called, one is called Flipped Off, the other one is called Self Control. And they actually log, you download them onto your phone, Android or iPhone, and they will actually log you off of either being online altogether or of certain apps, and then they text you a code that gets you back on at the amount of time that you need to be able to focus at the end of that time. Those are some good things. Why else do we need to pause? We need to pause because when we don't pause, we don't encounter. If all you ever do with people all day is walk by them while you're looking at this, or even if all you ever do is just walk by them and even make eye contact, it's not enough. God made us so that we grow that deep internal sense of being able to connect with God by learning how to connect with the people in our natural environments. A little while ago, it's a style reporter for the New York Times, published this list of 30 questions that was written in the early 1900s. And what you were supposed to do is you were supposed to look at someone for 3 minutes with making solid eye contact and then ask each other these 30 questions. And she thought, oh, I'll get a couple hits. Within just a few hours, she had over 8 million hits. And people were claiming that their feelings of love toward each other had just increased by, tenfold. It's just looking at each other, right? But we are so uncomfortable with looking at each other anymore. And let me tell you, God made you so that even in your earliest attachments, the way in which you looked at your caregiver and the loving way in which your caregiver looked back at you wired your brain for connection and wired your hypothalamus for emotions and helped you know what was safe and good. And if you didn't have that, very likely you struggle or you've had to do some really hard and intimate work in deliberate ways with people who love you and care about you to feel secure. But I want to show you a little bit of a video so that you can see what I mean. We all need a place to fix our gaze, just like that verse I talked about on Monday. We need to be able to fix our gaze on something, I believe, on God being still enough to internalize that we are okay. Let's look what happens when we fix our gaze and there's nobody there. I want you to think about this in terms of if you aren't fixing your gaze, maybe if there is even someone there. Take a look at this.
Babies this young are extremely responsive to the emotions and the reactivity and the social interaction that they get from the world around them. This is something that we started studying 30, 40 years ago, when people didn't think that infants could engage in social interaction. In the still phase experiment, what the mother did was she sits down and she's playing with her baby who's about 1 year of age.
I'm like a girl. Oh.
And she gives a greeting to the baby. The baby gives a greeting back to her.
Yeah.
This baby starts pointing at different places in the world, and the mother's trying to engage her and play with her. They're working to coordinate their emotions and their intentions, what they want to do in the world. And that's really what the baby is used to. And then we ask the mother to not respond to the baby. The baby very quickly picks up on this. And then she uses all of her abilities to try and get the mother back. She smiles at the mother. She points because she's used to the mother looking where she points.
Yeah.
The baby puts both hands up in front of her and says, "What's happening here?"
Yeah.
She makes that screechy sound at the mother, like, "Come on, why aren't we doing this?" Even in this 2 minutes when they don't get the normal reaction, they react with negative emotions, they turn away, they feel the stress of it, they actually may lose control of their posture because of the stress that they're experiencing.
Okay. Right? Here's the tricky thing. Anymore, even when we have loving presences present to us, so often we're doing all that looking around that we don't benefit or we don't even know how to stop and lock our gaze onto a God who would not look at us with a still face. But we move so quickly that we don't get to benefit. And what I have found, I used to do all this talking and talk about taking time to fix our gaze, but never taught people, and people your age were saying to me, like, great, now we've got this 10 minutes, but I have no idea what to do with it. So I want to help you think about how you might take some time to learn to fix your gaze, like that baby did, and like that mama did, to fix your gaze on this loving God. Dancers and all kinds of athletes have a thing that they do called spotting. And if I were a dancer, which I am sadly not, I would love to be, but I might choose that red number of the clock back there. And every time I would spin, I would fix my gaze on that clock. And it would keep me from getting dizzy. It would keep me in line in the choreography. Let me show you what spotting looks like. They call it spotting. This leads me to believe that even when our lives are moving so quickly, and even when we have these high-powered distraction devices with us, we might be able to fix our attention. Snowboarders do this. Oops, we missed it. Oops, wow. We're way ahead now. Snowboarders do this. They use the lines in the snow to spot their gaze toward, and that keeps them being able to stay on the path. Musicians do this with the in-ear microphone that keeps them on key, right? But if we don't have a way of choosing a spotting point and then of getting quiet and still enough to be able to spot toward it amongst our busyness, we will always stay distracted. And that will have physiological effects, it will have relational effects, and it will especially have an effect on you in terms of your ability to be just this healthy, resilient, beautifully loved person that you are meant to be. So today, I actually have saved a lot of our time to teach you how to do this. And I want you to think about this experience of 10 minutes kind of like you would a fire. Fire is, beautiful, and I can make a fake one out of construction paper, right? I can go and make this fire that looks really pretty, but then when I go up to like warm my hands to it or to heat up a marshmallow, it's not going to work. I could, though, however, in here, have a fire pit and have a raging fire. However, that would be too dangerous inside an old building, right? And we would all have smoke poisoning or something. I don't know. It'd be bad. I would get in big trouble and never be asked back. So fire, which can be really dangerous, but is also really beautiful, can either be just representational and we can just make it look like fire on the outside, or we can actually take some risks and have a real, hot, burning fire. Some of the people that use fire most beautifully are blacksmiths, and they know exactly what color the fire needs to be for them to put the metal in to make it malleable. And I want us to think about that for our 10-minute experience, that if our 10-minute experience is this fiery experience that we can have, trying to find a way to spot and look deeply into the eyes of a loving God, which, by the way, have you guys tried looking at someone for 4 minutes with solid eye contact without breaking it? It's a little awkward, right? But I want us to think about taking the risk of that awkward, intimate connectedness. And for some of you, just total silence without thought, without any planning, that might be this orange-yellow heat that the blacksmith knows to put the metal into the fire when it's orange-yellow, because that's the perfect temperature for malleability of their kind of metal. But for others of you, singing or listening to a sermon, that may not be orange-yellow heat at all. That may not be enough of a risk for you or enough of a fiery experience for you. For instance, if you're body smart, that just may not cut it. So I want you to think about how you might use this 10 minutes to get yourself into enough of an uncomfortable but still safe growing place in order to intimately connect to God. First of all, I need to tell you that you have to practice this. If you do this today and then suddenly in a week, if you feel super stressed out or when finals come and you're out of your mind or a bunch of crazy stuff has happened and you haven't practiced it, you aren't going to have the ability to do it. It has to be practiced every day. So if you tie it in, let's say you're a gamer, if you tie it in with picking up your game controller every day and you say, oh, I'm going to take 10 minutes before I start gaming, or if you're a Facebook user or a Pinterest user or an Instagram or whatever, I'm going to take 10 minutes before the first time every day, that would be amazing. When you take this 10 minutes, if you can some way use your body, that is good. If you can get your body into a place where it's alert and aware. One great way of doing that, God gave us this amazing ability to breathe, and I want us all to breathe together. Ready? Okay, so most of us in America, when we breathe, after the age of 2, we breathe like this. And we fill up the upper part of our lungs, and we get really lightheaded, because that's called anxious breathing. When we are able to be still and comfortable, we fill up our whole lungs, which God created our lungs even to go down here. So I want you to put your hands on your belly, get my dark on again. And I want you to breathe in, that's smelling the roses and then blowing out the candles. And when you breathe in, I want you to expand this lower part of your lungs. Again. One more time. You have just lowered your blood pressure and increased your body temperature and made yourself more alert and attentive. God made our bodies so amazingly integrated. If you are not a word or a body smart person, maybe you need an image like one of these Hoberman spheres. As it gets bigger, that's the breathing in. As you exhale, it's the getting small. Maybe you need a sketch pad as your prayer or quiet 10-minute time tool. If you're super body smart, I have found, and usually I travel with these and I just forgot them this time, exercise bands work beautifully. You put them under your feet, and as you look at and talk to God, imagine, what do I resist about God? And feel it in your body. And then how could I release to God? Finding ways that fit with you and finding a way of hanging with God that is congruent. So I'm going to give you a few tools, and these are from the practice of contemplative prayer throughout the ages. And we even see Jesus talking about engaging these tools that help us be quiet. And first, they're just the ABCs. So if you think about A, B, C, D, T, we're going to do ABCs again. The first thing, and then we're going to practice this. I'm going to encourage you to assume a posture of alert restfulness. For some of you, that's going to be sitting up. For others of you, it's going to be sitting with your back up against a wall over there on the floor. Some of you might want to lie on the floor. Seriously, I give you permission. We're going to move around. Somebody always falls asleep when we do this. There's always snoring from some part of the room. That's okay. Maybe your form of prayer today is rest in sleep. Next, we're going to breathe. I'm going to encourage you to breathe. I'm going to encourage you to create space for simply being with God. That baby was just simply with her or his mama, right? We're just going to be. We're not trying to accomplish really anything, or we're not trying to be the best contemplative prayer. We're just trying to be and find a new way of hanging out with God. If you get distracted, I'm going to teach you a way of kind of redirecting your distractions so that you can come back to fixing your attention. And then we're going to the biggest thing I want to try to encourage you to do is to eliminate the judgment that you're going to have of, oh, I can't do this, I'm not doing this right, or this isn't okay, or whatever. And just see if you can't get a glimpse of this amazing God who made you and loves you. If you need to fidget, take something like your pipe cleaner or your sketchbook with you when you go to your little place. But I would like to encourage you now to just go to a place where you can have a posture of rest. Seriously. Ready, set, go. You can move. You will get out of this what you put into it. So seriously, get to a place you need to be. While you're getting there, I also want to tell you that your counseling center staff, I went yesterday, they do a 20-minute contemplative prayer kind of exercise in the library on, where did I see you? What days?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11:30 to 12.
Okay, Mondays and Wednesdays at 2, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11:30. In the chapel in the library, you should go. It was amazing and wonderful. All right, so get where you're going to be. If you're comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes. And using that kind of breathing that we talked about, I would love for you to just take some breaths in, let some breaths go out. When you're inhaling, you want to let your belly rise up. If it had a penny on it, it would rise up, and then it would drop down. Pay attention as you're breathing to what it feels like to have this body of yours resting on the floor or on the seat, what the air feels like on your skin. And then on the next inhale, I'd love for you to take all of your attention and actually pretend like you're breathing it in. And just look all around inside this crazy body God gave you. Now, this body is a closed system. And in science, we know that if there's a closed system, if you bring something into it, a closed system, something has to go out of it to make space. So I'd like you to imagine this inside of your body as a vessel, and we fill our bodies up and our minds up with all kinds of lies. We aren't loved, we're not good enough, we're not doing enough, we aren't enough. I'd like you to try to imagine breathing in God's love for you, God's grace for you. And as you breathe that in, that makes this big open space, which means that some of those lies that come from the pit of hell have to come out. And I'd like you to picture breathing so that you are filling more of yourself up, at least 51%, if not more, of yourself up with grace and God's love. 49% or less lies. Just keep working on getting that balance. And in that place of spaciousness, I would love for you to imagine a place in God's created order, in nature, where there's a big enough body of water that a dock can be built out from the earth into the water, a boat dock. Just imagine that space. See it. Smell it. Hear the sounds, maybe there are birds or the sound of water. And then from the earth or the land out into the water, I'd like you to imagine building a boat dock. And here's what that boat dock is made out of. It's made out of a lot of boards, and some of those boards are God boards, and some of those boards are you boards. And there are a bunch of God boards surrounding every one of you boards. And together, you and God make up this dock. Really imagine laying it out, building this firm dock. You are surrounded by these strong boards. Pilings go deep down through the water into the ground below. And as you finish building the dock, I'd like you to imagine just the sun beating on it and just what it feels like to be in this solid space, surrounded by restful beauty. Feel the water lapping up. Feel what it feels like to be surrounded by this solid God. Now, as you're doing this, more than likely, distractions are coming into your mind. You know, I've got to write this paper, this is boring, whatever. As any distraction comes into your mind, what I'd like to ask you to do is to imagine it on a boat. Put it on a boat way out far from the dock. So, you know, there's that paper I need to write, or oh, there's that boredom. Put it on a boat and let the boat float by far away from the dock. Send out the message to the boat, you know, this is not space. There's no space right now for docking. This is just dock maintenance time. If you're important, you'll have to come back around. And then draw your attention back to fixing your attention on this being surrounded by God. And you may have to do this a bunch of times. Let the distraction float by and fix your attention back on being solidly with God. Not a muscle you use very often, so it's hard work. See the distractions. Ask for God's help to bring your attention back. If that isn't helping you feel close and still, then just bring your attention back to breathing in God's love. Really hard. Keep just directing your attention back. Not judging yourself, but trying to fix your attention. Just like when you're trying to do planks or any other exercise, just keep pushing through these last couple of minutes. Keep practicing. God, I am so amazed and grateful that you made me and that you made these precious ones with imaginations and senses of creativity and bodies, and that you made us in such a way that we can choose to partner with you to enhance all of those. And just like our muscles get sore when we try to help partner and make our bodies stronger, this kind of work is really hard. And so I ask that you would help us all to practice, to set aside time to fix our gaze on you. And in these next quiet moments, I encourage you all to stay where you are. We're going to sing a little bit and continue worship in that way. And to fix your attention on a God who absolutely adores you.